other times that have been, even in the generations that are represented here today. In the day that we are a part of the world now, we do not speak of fear of God. We do not speak of God in the terms that our ancestors spoke of God. Honestly, if it were dry and there was a drought, people would come to church and pray for rain. Now they do not. They turn to the Weather Channel or turn to Google. We live in a different time. It seems that as if God is being pushed out while we are letting our lives be the center of creation. Coming to worship is the place where God is first and center. He is here because we worship Him here. This is the sanctuary of God. I do not understand why the wayward generations are turning away and going after other things. In fact, even the most cherished of sacred ceremonies, even weddings now, only 25% of weddings are happening in church. That tells you that people no longer are seeing church and worship as important. But we see it as important because it is. And this psalm is talking about that. It's describing to Israel that when we come to God, we are to sing a new song. That doesn't mean a song with different lyrics or a different tune. It means that we sing of God. We sing our praise to Him. In fact, it says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Praise is a part of the worship we do. From the time I was a little boy, I remember going to worship and being filled with the Spirit. Even when I did not know God or understand His ways, I still could feel the power of something being there that I could not put my finger on. I pray that you experience that here at Spring Hill. When the choir sings and the scriptures are read and the prayers are prayed and the word is given, that you feel not only the greater presence, but you know it is about God that we are here. We are not here for ourselves. We are not here for our lives. We are here for God, to praise God, to worship God, to bow down to God. But I'm afraid in the postmodern landscape, in churches across the land, they have been partaking of weak spiritual food, where they think it is about drama and differences and division. Sisters and brothers, it has gotten to the point there is drama everywhere in our society. You can't even go to Walmart. Even the other night, we went to Ron's barn and somebody was wanting to see the manager of Ron's Bar. And my Lord, how can you mess up chicken? You can't. It's wonderful. And yet there was drama. And drama, I can tell you, causes indigestion. It's not good for you to have drama. The church is not about our drama. It's about God's story of salvation. And thanks be to the Lord, we're part of that. So the psalmist is saying, sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day by day. In other words, we are to let every day be a holy day and every holy day be a day of worship. In other words, we share our love of God each and every day. The first hymn that we did, show the words of the first hymn. I want you to see what we've been singing, just how great thou art. That's the first hymn we had. And if you look at the words, as Brad, he pulls it up quickly, there it is, sing. Sing is our first word, but we're going to look at the hymn now. We have to go back. Okay, there we go. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. See, our God isn't just a personal God and a God that somehow makes me feel good. My God made the heavens above. My God made the planets. I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. See, our worship of God extends even beyond this place to the creation. Then it says, then sings my soul my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. See, the psalmist is saying when we sing to the Lord, we praise his name and we proclaim his salvation for all the creation. It's not just us. We're told in just in Revelation, we're told in John, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. God isn't just going to remake us. He's going to remake the very creation that we are in. He's going to take all the planets and all the stars and all the suns and all the space that surrounds us, this seemingly infinite amount, and it is part of his creation that he has made for his wonder and his glory. It says, praise the Lord for his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. So we respond by doing the thing that our heart demands us do. We sing, and we sing with gusto, we sing with conviction, we sing with heart. And I love that without the music today, how you were able to sing with your heart and able to harmonize and sing the faith that is in your soul. See, we are called to be a people who praise the Lord. Okay, now if that were the end of the story, that means we just come together and be happy. All it means we'll just come together and we'll sing and we'll be happy. But let's look a little bit further into our call in worship. It is to realize that God is not just good, he is great. God is great. There is no problem that you have that God cannot overcome. There is no difficulty that you carry that God cannot answer. There is no burden that you have experienced that God cannot reach in and change your life. It says that, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. We'll take a little test. Who was the ancient god of Babylon? Who did the people bow down to every day? Who was their god? Does anybody know their god? The name of their god? Some of you Sunday school teachers may know. His other name was Marduk. Was another term that was used for him. He was a god of their creation. They said in Babylon that Marduk was God. When they came to worship, they worshiped a false god. People don't even know who the God is now. Yet Israel, its God, Jehovah, the Lord, we now come together in worship. And I can tell you right now, one generation of wayward Americans is not going to do away with the generations that have worshipped and the generations that still will worship the Lord. I don't care what people are saying that the church is dying. The church isn't dying. It's just people are listening to other gods instead of to the true God. Think about this. Israel was not a large nation. Egypt was a greater empire. Babylon was a greater empire. Assyria was a greater empire. Rome was a greater empire. Yet we don't worship Zeus or Apollo or any of the other gods of the ancient world. We worship the God of that little tiny nation that God so blessed, the children of Israel. We worship the Lord our God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we worship. And he is to be feared above all gods. Now, people are saying, what does that mean, he is to be feared? Sisters and brothers, fear is what we seem to live in right now. We have a culture that's been, since 9/11, embedded into fear. Every time we fly on a plane, we're dealing with the results of fear. Every time we even at the high school the other day, because of a misunderstanding, the police worked because they feared there was a shooter at Western Harnett. We live in a culture now of fear, so we don't understand when it says fear. We think that's fear. What this is describing isn't fear of the harm. This is fear of awesomeness, of respect. And the story, so Miss Peggy read in the Old Testament, is this wondrous story where Moses says to God, I want you to favor me, Lord. And God says, well, you've been good, you've been faithful, so what can I do to help you? And Moses said, I want to have favor with you. Help me to see you. And God said, you will see me, but I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And there you'll be in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by. And God says, I'm going to give you favor by letting you look at my backside. You can't look at my face. Because if you look at my face, you'll die, Moses. But I'll let you look at my backside. So Moses is in the cleft of the rock. Imagine he's on the mountainside, and there's this big rock, and it's split. And he's inside of that cleft, that opening in the rock, and he's watching the light start to brighten all around him. And he's watching the sky starting to turn all different colors. And he's listening to the wind as it's blowing. And he's experiencing the presence of God's glory. And then suddenly this just unimaginable glory as blinding walks by, and Moses can't look because it's so intense, and he turns away. And then right when it starts to pass by, he catches a glimpse of the backside of the Lord walking by. What does that tell us? That tells us that our God is present here and now. It tells us that our God is able to come to us where we are. It tells us that our God was so able that he sent his only Son to live with us, be with us, die for us, and rise again. See, it tells us that God is real and not some false deity that we try to create. Sisters and brothers, I know it's hard. I know it's hard in this land that does not fear the Lord. I know it's hard in this land that does not fear the Lord. Oh, there can be a rock that passes by. There's going to be a Chinese satellite going to fall in the next few weeks, by the way. Chinese put a big satellite up into space. Most of it's going to burn up, but about a ton of it's going to fall somewhere, and they don't know where. And I'm going to tell you right now, if that Chinese satellite falls in Spring Hill area, we're going to sue the Chinese, and we're going to get some money, and we're going to build new buildings here at this church. So pray for it to land over there in the cow pasture at Johnny's without hitting the cows, so we can get some money out of those Chinese and build us a family life center, build us a basketball court, and build us a place where our children can play. See, I'm not afraid of this world. Oh, I know at times it's hard. I know at times it's just hard to understand. I know the other day I read a report that said that Yosemite, the national park, is on top of a super volcano. Did you read that, Maggie? Did you hear about that? It's on top of a super volcano. And they say if that volcano goes up, and some young lady who's earning her PhD reported that she thinks it's going to go off sooner than later, which means all life on Earth will end if this super volcano out there goes off. You think that worries me? It doesn't worry me. I know the truth. I know the world is in created form. I know everything is in motion, but my God is in control. See, that's what the psalmist is saying here. For great is the Lord. He is worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. They're not real. But our God made the heavens. When I was a boy, that's how I understood the created order. I saw God the Father as the creator, the one who made everything into being. Then I saw God the Son, Jesus, as redeemer, the one who makes me able to worship him, my God. And I saw my God, the Holy Spirit, as sustainer, the one who helps me each and every day in my faith. And it says, splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory are in his sanctuary. That was perfect timing with air conditioning, Mr. Pat. Because it's that moment that we know something different is going on. That God is present in this place. And what is he doing in this place? He's holding your children in his hands. He's holding you in his heart. He's working on us. He's working on everyone in the sanctuary. His presence is beaming a light into our lives and helping us to have hope when our hearts are feeling hopeless. He's helping us to see light when our vision only sees darkness. He's helping to wipe away the tears when our hearts are heavy because we feel lonely. See, that's what the psalmist is saying. Our God is not just good. Our God is great. So how do we respond to this greatness of God? We sing in His presence. He comes into our midst. He is a living God. He walks among us. He shows us His glory. We do that by the joy. Let the nations rejoice, it says. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns, and the greatness of God becomes our joy. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. In other words, what we are facing this day and age is a society attempting to extract God out of it, to say God doesn't belong, God is not needed. Do you know what the most common reference on college-age students is on the surveys they're given for their religion? Nuns. That's not N-U-N. That's not ladies who have taken a sacred vow in the Catholic belief system. It's N-O-N-E-S, nuns. In other words, the most common faith that our college students are ascribing to is nothing. They don't believe. Oh, they think there's a God. They just don't think God is relevant. See, sisters and brothers, we've always had trouble with people going off to college and starting to think that they know more, when the truth is we end up knowing less because there's more to know. See, we have to realize that the more we know, the less we know, because the more we know, the more there is to know. So what do we know? We do know that we exist. We do know that there is a creation. We do know there's a sun above. We do know there are stars in the heavens. We do know there are particles that make up the created order. We do know there are emotions and elements of our living. We do know it's important to be loved. We do know it's important to be a part of a social gathering. We do know so many things, yet the thing we must know the most is our God reigns. There is no part of our life He is not touching by His grace and His glory every single day. He is holding us up. He is keeping us safe. Do you honestly think that if God had not been involved, do you honestly think that humanity would have not already played the nuclear option? Do you realize there are enough atomic weapons, nuclear weapons, that are in Russia and America alone to kill every one of us seven times over? Do you know that the systems that control that could be released and in one single day the earth could cease to exist? My God reigns. Even with North Korea, even with Iran, even with those that think that somehow they have power, they do not. They cannot challenge the mighty course of the Lord. His story is going to be told, and it's not our story of our demise. We are the worst predatory species that's ever been created, yet we are the very species that's the glory of the Lord, because with all the evil that's in humanity, its potential for good is far greater, and God made us such that we could end up being His children by choosing the light instead of the darkness, choosing joy instead of sorrow. See, the nations are rejoicing. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He judges all people with equity. He holds us all into account. The heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. The sea resounds and all that is in it. The fields be jubilant and everything that is in them. Do you honestly think we can rip the ecosystem off this earth? That we can deforest the forest and mine the mountains and geo-change the earth so that humanity cannot survive? My God is greater. I think humanity and all of its vanity thinks that. You stand out in a hurricane like I've done, and you'll realize how little you are and how great it is. You realize how indeed we're not all that and more. Used to have this boy in college. He was good at different types of things, sports and everything like that. And he came in one day to my room and he said, "I just want you to know, Jerome, I'm everything in that." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" He said, "I'm everything in that." And I said, "Are you saying you're good at something?" He said, "I'm everything and I'm that." I said, "Brother," I said, "I'm not everything in that. I'm just barely me and I'm hanging on the way it is." See, he was saying to me in his eager boasting, he's everything in that. Well, about a month later, he's down there at the gym. We called it the tin can because in Methodist, that was a tin can gym. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Billy? It's a tin can gym. That's before they got big sponsorship and they built a nice gymnasium. It was a tin can. He was down there and he lost his knee. He was shooting ball with some boys in a pickup game and he was on crutches. And I came up to him the next day over just in the lunchroom. And I started to say it, but I didn't say it. I wanted to say it. I started to say, "You're everything in that," but I didn't. I said, "Are you doing good? Are you doing okay? Is everything okay?" He said, "Man, it just is not good. I'm hurt and I wanted to play the season." And he started belly aching and I'm just sitting there going, "I hear what you're saying. I'm barely hanging on myself." See, right now we're riding high. We're riding high. We got our cars. We got our technology. We got our ways. We got all these things in our culture. We're living in affluence. We're living in wealth. We're living in a time we're able to get things. We don't even have to raise our own livestock anymore. Some of you do, but we don't. We don't have to grow our own crops. Some of you do, but we don't. We don't have to do the things people did to try to make a living or even try to feed somebody like they did in the old days. See, we're living in affluence. We're riding high. See, our God reigns. He is the one that has created the heavens and the earth. He is the one that has blessed us. He has blessed us for a greater reason. He didn't bless us for us to go wasted on something that's not worth it. Go wasted on something that's not good. He didn't give us all this so we could somehow cast aside our purpose. He gave us time, and we don't even spend the time worshiping God like we should. We have a hard time even making 2 hours on a Sunday. Preacher's starting to meddle now. He's starting to get in my business. Well, I get paid partially for that, to meddle in our business, but really I do it not because I get paid for it or not because it's in the book of discipline, which it is, by the way. The reason I do it is that every day you stay away, the world has more impact on you. And you start to think it's more important than God. And that day becomes another day, becomes a week, becomes a month. And pretty soon, that's why this is a critical time for these young people when they go off to college. They need to make an effort to be a part of a worship so they can grow in the grace of God. Because when they come out of college, they need to have their faith settled in their hearts and be able to worship the Lord. See, it says even the trees and the forest will sing. They all will come to the Lord and know that He is good. So this is what my prayer is for our church. I don't know what we're going through, but we're going through something. But I believe it's good. I believe God is doing something good here. We're holding the course. We're not lost in the ways of the culture. We're holding the line. So let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to sing a new song, a song of glory and praise to your holy name. Let us be your people that all that we do, that we may claim the promise that you have given to us, that you'll walk in our lives and shine your glory upon us so that we may live faithful lives in you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.